I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look him dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jobs Below podcast with Brianna and Josh.
The podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs.
Hey, we're so glad to be back after another year. It's post-COVID. We're looking to share even more stories of inspiring people's journeys, as well as perspectives on surviving life in, during, after a pandemic.
Yes, Josh, because things are still upside down. So talking about dream jobs does seem a bit aspirational. So let's talk about people's journey.
Aspirational. How are you, Brianna? What's going on?
I'm all right, Josh. How are you?
How am I? I am good. It's, we're 1 year past. I have officially not gotten a haircut in a full year. So, you know, the hair is like out of control. People here begging me to cut it. I'm good. It was a good day. You know, my kids painted my face with silver sparkly, what's it called? Eyeshadow. I thought it was just like them joking around, and you got to see the picture of what this looks like. Maybe we'll show it somehow on our Instagram. Out of control. It looked like a Smurf. But I had a good week. We actually, this production company I work with, we released this video that I actually wrote that kind of promotes what it is we do, and it got a great response out there. So, you know, in the essence, in the spirit of trying to drudge up business and be aggressive, we put that out there, Precision Pictures, LTD, and it's cool. We're psyched. That was really cool. What about you?
Amazing. I did see that.
Thanks. You did? Well, did you like it?
I did.
How is my writing? Did I write good?
You wrote very well. Is it good or well? I don't know. Anyway.
You see? That's the joke. All right.
Well, staying in the kind of more in the COVID arena, my stepmother got her second dose today.
All right.
So she will be cleared to come visit in a couple weeks, and we're super excited because we haven't seen her in over a year.
What?
So, yeah. So.
So and, hard.
And when she's here, Brian and I are both going to be getting our second doses. So we'll all.
That's cool.
Holy vaccine.
I can't believe you guys got yours already and I'm still waiting to get mine. Unbelievable.
Well, it's only because I called Walgreens. Which
you hustled. You got on Walgreens.
Now I keep hearing they're telling people no, they don't do that. And there's lineups right. of like 30 people. So I obviously got in at a good time. So
you entitled shit. Look at you. No. Just skipping the line.
No, I didn't skip any line. I only took extra doses.
Super excited though that you get to see your mother-in-law, because I'm sure Ella misses her.
My stepmother.
Oh, your stepmother.
Yes.
Oh, yep. My bad. All right. So she's coming in from
Ohio. From Ohio.
Oh my gosh. I realize. Yeah. My bad. Still super excited. Yeah. I haven't seen my mom in I don't know how long.
Well, and that's a great segue for the show because this is our first guest who is a family member, not mine. And I'm glad I don't have to introduce him because I would absolutely butcher his name because it starts with an A and I would Ohioize it or whatever.
There you go. It doesn't even start with an A. That's how confusing it is. It starts with an A. But that is 100% right. I have a cousin of mine on the show. I have a lot of entrepreneurial cousins, and I finally got one of them to join the podcast this week. It is my cousin from my mom's side. He is I'm going to actually test him on this later to see if he knows the answer, how exactly the uncles and aunts are related. But today's episode is going to be called Sweaty Business with Deodorantpreneur Eyal Azrod, my cousin. What's up, Eyal? How you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Are you so excited to be on the Jobsville podcast after all this time?
So excited. So excited. It's been
you've
a while.
So
it's
much.
Been like you Yeah, and you've been trying to get me on here for like
at least a year. What were we at the bar at whose bat mitzvah was that? Me like basically like selling you hard and you're like, no, eventually I'll do it. Eventually.
Yeah. It was at Sky's bat mitzvah. And it's just like, I don't know. I've been holding off. I'm not that good of a speaker. So it's just like, I don't know.
You're great, man. Every time we talk, we have the best talk. So let's just give a little bit of background on Eyal. Eyal, like I said, is a cousin of mine, a little bit younger cousin, but you know,
a little bit.
Okay. almost 24 years younger, but you know, we just have that rapport. But you know, he's one of these people that I've always appreciated. He just, again, he has that DNA, that entrepreneurial DNA, and he's had a few ventures along the way, but now he has a deodorant business that he started from scratch. It is all natural, but that's not only the beauty of it. He'll tell us more about it. There's so many other great things about why it is such a special and unique product. It's called Up in Arms, and we just want to hear about it. So Up in Arms is just a brilliant name. I mean, that was part of it. AL, when you told me about it, I was like, just on the name alone, I have to have you on the show to talk about. Where'd you even come up with that? Honestly, it seems simple, but like, where'd you come up with it?
So big shout out to my friends for helping me a lot with like the name and like how I was going to brand it and do all that kind of stuff. I was like sitting in a bar up the street from my house when I was living in Baltimore, and my buddy Rico actually, we were like spitballing names. We came up with like Under Armour spelled differently because, you know, from Baltimore, right, or whatever. And then finally he was like, you should use Up in Arms. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like, you know, it was like, as soon as he said that, I was like, that's totally going to be it, you know?
And it's true. I mean, Brianna and I love a good pun here.
Yeah,
so
we do.
That's why.
So, and before we get, I don't want to go too far into this business so we can kind of take a journey with you on how you got there. But is this a dream job? Is having your own business a dream job? I don't know that deodorant necessarily is, but is, you know, doing your thing.
Yeah. Like having a business, like being able to like sustain my life and my hobbies financially without like going to like a job has always been like one of my dreams, but not necessarily like deodorant. I never really thought about that until, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of like a thing where I stopped wearing deodorant. I got like a gnarly rash under my armpits. And then I stopped wearing deodorant for a while and I stunk. And, you know, like if you knew my family, then like, you know, I didn't hear the end of that.
Right.
Every time I'd come home, something. And not like that's why I'm wearing deodorant, but, you know, that
you're also the only boy in the immediate, right? Three sisters, mom, right? You were getting it hardcore from everyone, right?
Yeah, totally. So that just like, you know, I just went on the internet, you know, and figured out a really simple deodorant recipe, and I tried it out for myself, and it kind of worked, and yeah, that's kind of how that started.
Well, just so you know, I used to work in deodorant for Suave. And from behind the scenes marketing lingo, we'd call it Dio. I don't know if you call it Dio, but that was how we referred to it.
I swear to God, every time we do one of these, Brianna has worked in that industry of everything.
Worked on everything.
Well, I'm not a with the White House chef, the porn star. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
I dabbled, but I didn't work.
I dabbled. That's so funny. So, you know, I want you to tell, I know most of the beats of the story, but I want you to give us a little bit of the background about, you know, from, you know, because again, what, you're 27, right? So high school was only about 10 years ago, right? Jesus. And the things you were doing in high school, right? Jesus. Yeah. Like, do you even fucking remember 27? I don't fucking. Anyway, so, you know, because I know some of those things, and I always thought, Al, the things that you were doing, the different kinds of pursuits, even though they may have seemed out there to some people, were cool. You always seemed to have a really level head about you. So I want you to talk about that, and maybe also talk about just your parents in general. Hi, Edva, you know, and their own, how they were both entrepreneurial as well. So how much of that played into kind of where you are and all your choices up until now? Give us a jam.
So, yeah, I mean, like, my parents totally influenced the way of, like, the way I went about life in that sense, you know, and, like, getting a job and, like, doing and making money. I, you know, they kind of did whatever it took to make ends meet all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. So that kind of, like, sparked it without me really knowing, like, subconsciously kind of sparked it. And I've always, you know, tried different random things. Some I'm not going to speak of, and some I, you know, some I totally will. You know, it's like with the photography thing and the skateboarding thing, like, it's all, these are all like hobbies of mine that I've always like tried to figure out ways I can sustain them without, like, you know, reaching too deep into my pocket.
Right.
You know?
So you really tried to make a passion kind of your profession.
Yeah. I mean, sort of, not really. Like, it was never really like, oh, I'm going to like make money off of skateboarding, or like with photography. Like, I totally, you know, tried to go down that avenue where I tried to, like, you know, take photographs for people and charge them, you know, hourly rates or whatever. And then I realized quickly that that was just a hobby, and I didn't really want to make that into like a career, because it was, you know,
and well, that's fair. I mean, you know, you got to like, you know, take a shot. But what I always loved about that was, is you were mixing the two. Tell me if I'm wrong. You were skateboarding, yeah, and that was fun, and you, yeah, were doing photography and that was fun. And there was a time there where you were taking these epic photos of other people, friends, and competitions of skateboarders. And I remember talking to you about it, being like, dude, like, this, yeah, is like, if this is any interest or a passion to you, follow this, because, yeah, you, yeah, are good at it. You know what you just knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still do that to this day, you know, for fun, whenever the opportunity arises itself where one of my friends are like, I have this trick and I want to take a photo of it, and like, well, I don't have my equipment with me, I'm on the road. But like, when I was back home in Baltimore and living in my mom's in Montgomery County, I was totally like, any opportunity to go take a photo of somebody skating, I got my bag together, had my batteries
charged,
and totally did that. And like, sometimes they would get ran in little magazines. Sometimes they would be used for thumbnail, you know, thumbnail, right, videos. And like, that was cool. And, you know, I'm still so open to do that. You know, if you know,
if someone asks, or like,
somebody asks. Yeah.
Well, sometimes too, when it becomes something that you have to live off of, the love of it, it starts to kind of not be there as much. My husband's actually a photographer. Yeah. So, right, you know, I think he still likes to, he really loves to take pictures of like the family and things like that. But I definitely can understand where, like, when it's like a job, then it, yeah, is a little bit of, you know, the appeal.
The magicalness of whatever it was when it was just for fun. Yeah.
Right. But it is interesting to still know, like, it's a hobby that you're also good at. And that's, yeah, like, meant to be a compliment, because, like I said, I've seen some of these photos and then guys use them as their promo photos. Like, it's, yeah, not just like, oh, here's this shot I took. It's like, yeah, as a skater, you have to know where to position, where you're going to get, right, that best shot. Right. Like,
yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, you got to be sometimes willing to take a skateboard to the head or to the camera, you know,
right, like,
kind of gnarly, you know, especially with skateboarding, because it's like, you know, fucking skateboards flying everywhere, your eyes in the, you know, right, in the people, and you're not even, you don't even know what's going on. You just know the photo, right, that you took, you know.
Well, so I just saw a video on Instagram.
So you've been hit in the head?
Yeah, I have been hit in the head for sure.
I just saw a video on Instagram of this guy trying to video another guy skateboarding and not seeing where he was going and falling with the camera into a lake. It, oh, was like, God, so terrible, but so funny at the same time. Like, yeah, I can imagine. So we got Eyal here sitting here, just so you understand kind of the perspective. You're in California right now? Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah,
you've been on the road. Yeah. You have one of your classic grizzly beards, right? He's also been known to have some crazy long hair, but it's under a nice looking shmata right now, so I can't tell how long it is. But you have a classic family. Oh, nice! Full head of hair. I hate you so much.
Wow,
I hate you.
That is,
but you,
that
look is good, dude. Hair. You look good. But you've always kind of grown it out. You kind of fit the lifestyle of a deodorant guru right now, or at least the look, you know?
Do I?
Well, I mean, you know, if you told me this guy is making vats of deodorant that he's selling, I would be like, I'll buy that.
I have a ton of questions about it. I know you know all about that, Josh. But yeah, I'm really interested to find out how the chemistry and all of it came together. Are you in California because of the deodorant? Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just in California right now. Me and my lady, Darian, are actually on the road living out of our van, and so we just like made our way out here. It's
wow, good
for you. San Diego?
Yeah, we just got into San Diego. We were in Joshua Tree this morning.
Amazing. So let me ask you a tough question, then we'll get to some of the easier questions, because like I said, like Brianna said, I'm actually totally interested more in the business side and putting the chemistry side. But
okay,
talk about just some of the, maybe the, you know, did you, I don't remember, did you go to college after high school?
I did try.
Okay.
I didn't finish. Yeah.
Okay. And then just talk about some of like those life lessons with the photography, skating, what you learned, failed, you know, maybe didn't come together, and how you kind of got to this point as far as like, you know, how did you know this was going to work? How did you, what lessons did you learn up to this point?
Like lessons as far as like.
Like, how do you know, how do you take an idea like that and say, no, I'm going to do this? It's not just like.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the whole, like, starting the business thing happened super, like, organically, and it was, like, pretty awesome. Kind of came out of nowhere. It was, like I was saying, you know, I was getting those rashes. I started making it for myself. And then, like, within that same couple months, this, like, natural soap store opened up on the corner of my street in Baltimore. And I, you know, I would walk in there and, you know, support them. It's like a small local business. So I was like,
right,
stoked. And then, you know, got super like friendly with the owners and whatnot. And then eventually I was like, do you guys sell a deodorant? And they were just like, no, we don't sell a deodorant. And I was like, well, I make my own deodorant. And they were like, if you want to make it into a brand or like do whatever, if you want to put a name on it and sell it in the store, we totally will. And so it was just kind of like a no-brainer at that point. It was like, oh, this store is willing to sell this deodorant. Let me perfect this recipe and try and put a super, like, you know, eco-friendly twist to it.
Wait, and so I have questions because you make, like, it sounds so easy making deodorant. Like, I'm picturing you in a room with, like, lab, like, beakers and things. what does that look like making
deodorant? It's, like, pretty simple. I mean, it's like there's a few ingredients that need to be melted down. So it's, like, I put the ones that need to be melted down on, like, I have this double burner that I use with like a double boiling setup, kind of like making candles. I know a lot of people use.
I literally was going to compare it to candles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that. So it's like a double boil setup where I like melt down all the ingredients that need to be melted. And then I have like the powders that I set aside and I weigh it all out. And then I get, once that's all melted, I add the, you know, the powders to it. And then I use like your regular baking mixer, one of those electric mixers,
wow,
to just mix it all together. And I have it in this huge measuring cup type thing. So it's like, right, as soon as it all settles and it's like, you know, cool down enough to pour it into the deodorant molds or the sticks, I guess, themselves, I'll just like pour them into each stick one by one. It's like, sounds like it's some gnarly process, but it's actually super simple if you were like to see me do it.
But you had to, you're totally experimental. I it's just in you, yeah. But like, how much research did you do?
It was a while, dude. It was like 6 months of just like trying all these different recipes. And I had there, you know, it's all on the internet, you know, totally like all on the internet. But then I like would try one, it'd be too hard or too sticky. And so I would change out, you know. Beeswax was what I started with, and that's like, you know, what goes into a lot of the deodorants. And the deodorant started getting a little too sticky for my liking, or maybe I was just screwing up the recipe. But then I started using, instead of beeswax, a different wax that's like plant derived, and it's called Candelilla wax. And that actually made it more like, you know, pleasant to put on the armpit and all that stuff. So, you know, it took a lot of trial and error, and I had my friends, my roommates, all trying these random deodorants that I was making, and finally came up with one that, you know, works, I guess, for me at least. I know everybody's body is different, and some it accepts it, some it doesn't, but like, so far I've heard nothing but good things, you know, across.
Yeah.
What about how long it lasts? Like, how did you work through making sure it was a deodorant that was effective for, you know, an entire day or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, so I knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, you know, it wasn't going to be my competition. Wasn't going to be this, these antiperspirants that promise you 24, 48 hours. I knew right. it was going to be this natural product that somebody who's okay with it lasting, you know, 8 to 12 hours is like, you know, the most right. probably that it will last. It's like, you know, we're humans. We're supposed to sweat. I'm not trying to, you know, fuck right. your body up just to make you smell good, you know?
Right. right.
Did you ever figure out what it was you were getting allergic to? Did you ever come across that in that process?
I mean, the biggest thing that people are allergic to in that stuff is the aluminum. It's like the alum that they put into the antiperspirants that actually clog your pores and stop you from sweating. Meanwhile, I'm like out all day sweating my ass off, and it's, I guess, like it just got irritated after a while. And, you know, growing up, it would happen to me all the time, and I just kind of brush it off like this must be normal, you know.
Right, right.
And then I got to an age where I was like, huh, well, this doesn't feel good, so I'm not going to do it, you know.
Okay.
So are you an environmentalist? I mean, are you interested in keeping things natural, or was it more of a process of something wasn't working for you, so you came up with something that did?
I mean, you know, I would like to call myself an environmentalist, I guess. You know, I care about this planet as we all should, you know, because we're all guests here, and
right
on. Remind ourselves that every single day, and not, you know, not to take advantage of what we have around us, because it's not here forever.
Right.
You know? So yeah, for sure. Like putting a product out that is going to make a little bit of an impact, you know, small things here and there, they all count, you know.
Now, what about two things? What about odor? How did you figure out that you put a scent in there, I suppose, mm-hmm. right? So do you, is it just like other products now, do you have a choice of scents?
Yeah, so I have two different scents, and I also offer it unscented because some people okay. are, you know, really sensitive to those essential oils that I use. So I use like essential oils to scent them. I have two different scents. One's called Rooted, and I use a patchouli, I use cedarwood, and I use sage in that one.
Nice.
And it's like a more earthy, kind of like musky smell.
Right.
And that was like the original scent that I made, and I was like, I'm just going to make this one.
That's my natural odor, by the way, just an yeah. earthy musk.
Are the deodorants kind of asexual, like gender neutral?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really want to make a men's and females, like a man's and woman's, because, you know, whatever your nose likes is whatever your nose likes. There aren't like, you know, girl and boy smells.
Right.
Just like, there aren't really girl and boy colors.
I mean, that's just like, that's also like just socially actionable right now too. You know, it's like to gender-fy the deodorant market. I mean, it's just kind of whether you did it on purpose or not, it's timely.
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely. I did it on purpose. I wanted it. I mean, originally I was like, I'm going to make one scent and one scent only, cause this is what I like. And
right.
eventually I was just like, you know, a lot of people claimed it as a manlier smell. And so okay.
whatever. So what'd you make? What's the other one? What's the other?
The other option? One is called Bliss, and it's scented with eucalyptus, lavender, and myrrh.
See, I like that. I'm immediately drawn to that. But let me tell you, my husband, half the time I just use his deodorant. It doesn't matter to me. But I want to ask, because now that you're more of a business, am I still picturing you with your double burner? Are you still, is that still how you're making these deodorants? Or
I mean,
it's a good question.
I mean, for sure, I still do it like that. For a while, I had access to the kitchen at that little soap store in Baltimore. They, you know, they kind of just let me use their space as long as I cleaned up, and, you know, I would always do extra dishes. I'd leave them with the empty sink and stuff like that. So
wow,
that was nice, and that definitely felt more like a, you know, scientific, you know, stainless steel tables and beakers and whatnot. Right. But it was still just a burner, you know, and I was double boiling with a pot and a Pyrex measuring cup. Like, it was, you know, just like that. But then when I wasn't living in Baltimore anymore, I was literally doing it in my mom's house. Yeah. It was just a double burner
So she's making couscous, or your sister's making like a chicken vegetable couscous, and Yael's like, get your deodorant out. You're like, it might go good with the couscous.
So yeah, yeah. So like, how much can you turn? Like, what do you get up and start doing that at 9 a.m. and do it all day long? And like, what can you turn
out? Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do that. I mean, my batches are really small right now. I'm able to do 40 sticks at one time, which is a really small amount, but you know, it keeps, I wake up one day and I have this goal in mind that I'm going to make whatever X amount of deodorants, and I usually am able to do that. It's like, I can make like 40 sticks in about an hour.
Oh, in an hour?
So can I?
Yeah, yeah. About an hour, maybe an hour and a half. It depends. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So talk to us about that. I'm still really interested. Wait, before we get to that, I'm still really interested in the chemistry aspect of this. Was chemistry a good subject for you in high school? Were you drawing on that? Like, where? It's interesting. No, it's interesting because, you know, you think like you go through these hours of like chemistry or physics in high school. You think it's going to like play into something later. And then here comes somebody who just has an interest in it all of a sudden and is basically what? Starting over when it comes to the math? Are you taking notes in your head? Do you have a notebook with all this stuff?
That's funny. It's all in a composition notebook, and all, you know, even still to this day, my recipes in this composition notebook, I have a picture of it on my phone. Like,
right.
And, I mean, I didn't, you know, up until you guys mentioned chemistry, I really never thought about it like that. I was horrible at chemistry in high school. I actually,
yeah. Me too.
You know, I got horrible grades and I flunked it and I dropped out of it and like wanted nothing to do with it.
Me neither.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I hated it. Yeah. I was in a science-based major in college, and because of chemistry, I was like tapping out. I'm out. In fact, the night before my chemistry final in college, I was so just like, I couldn't figure out any of this stuff that I decided the only way I was going to pass was to sleep on all of my books. I figured if I couldn't learn it through osmosis, I was never going to get it. And I barely passed. So I get it. So, but so you don't look at it as chemistry, but it is clearly something you're good at.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah, I guess so. I mean, to me, I pictured it. I mean, like, I saw it more like, you know, cooking a meal or something like that. You just, like, put these ingredients in a pot.
And, oh, interesting. And recipe.
You know, it was more of like I totally took it on like I was cooking something.
So are you still in that store in Baltimore as well as I know you sell from your own website?
Yeah, yeah. I'm still in that store in Baltimore and a few others in Baltimore, smaller.
Can you tell us
stores.
The name of the store?
Yeah. 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 So it's Mount Royal Soap Company.
Okay.
Yeah. They're based out of Baltimore. It's a pretty small business. And then,
and the website, what's your website?
My website, upinarmsnatural.com.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Keep it going.
So that store, and there's a few other stores in Baltimore that I'm in that are super cool. They're like small mom and pop, like grocery stores that have been there for years. And, you know, those are kind of like the kind of stores that I was drawn to try and get it in there. Right. I mean, mostly because it was less intimidating than these bigger stores.
And chains, yeah.
Two, because, you know, I could go in and have a conversation with the person that would actually be buying it, you know?
Right, like, right.
Through, you could talk to my general manager, you know. It
was right.
Like, yeah, my parents own this place. I can totally give you a sample or something like that, you know.
And they make, and how much are they buying? Are they buying, is it cases? Is it-
yeah, they buy cases. The last case they bought was actually, what was it? It was like a couple dozen a cent.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. So did you have to get any sort of official approval from, you know, any sort of... I don't know.
No.
The FDA, Federal Deodorant Agency, has to approve.
No, I haven't. I haven't really gone through any of that stuff yet. I've been like, it's kind of up there on my list of priorities to try and like to register my business and do all that, get UPC codes, because that, you know, that'll open up the door to so many more stores that I can sell in and markets and stuff like that. So I haven't really done that yet. As of right now, I'm just kind of coasting on how it's going right now. I haven't really done much since we've been on the road. It's kind of hard to, like, you know, use GPS and make sure we know where we're sleeping at night, and then also, you know, run this business. So right now it's pretty much I made as much as I possibly could before I left Maryland. And I have my little sister, Yael, who I love and appreciate so much. She's over there sending out packages every time I get an order. I'll just send her all the information, and she packs it up and takes it to the post office.
And she's a chef, too. So she likes to recipe her things as well. So
Yeah. She makes the she makes all the good stuff in the kitchen, for sure. Took over my mom's job.
So are you seeing more business in retail, or are you seeing more online?
Right now, on the road, online.
Online, okay.
Yeah. But I'd love to just, you know, I'd love to just kind of veer away from the online, because it's kind of silly, you know, shipping out one stick all the way across the country and stuff like that. I definitely would like to focus more on like the local aspect of it, and try and get into places, which is hard now that I'm traveling, because it's like, where is local to me? And like, you know,
why are you traveling right now? What is there a reason, or just to do it for, because everything's kind of still on lockdown in some places?
That's actually made it a little bit harder. Like, finding this coffee shop to do this in has been pretty
really
hard. Yeah. Why am I traveling? Because I don't know, because I can.
He's 27. Right. He can.
27.
And it's just like, I don't know. It's just like a freeing feeling. It's just like, I get to go visit all my friends who live in different places, and I don't know, see where I want to end up. Cause I don't know. I haven't really seen.
Can I tell you, it's something we talk about all the time as slightly older, but also even at the same age. It's just like a freedom that, or an opportunity a lot of us never took, we talked about. So it's just super cool.
Well, and you should look for mom and pop shops on the road, because it's a tax write-off. Like, look for some places you might want to put
while you're on the road. Absolutely.
And then write off your trip. Yeah.
I kind of missed that it like froze over here.
I was saying it was super cool that you get to do this and take a chance and go on the road and while you have the opportunity. But what Brianna was saying
is that you should be looking for mom and pop shops all over the country, and then you can write this trip off for your taxes, because
you make any deals.
It was a business.
If you make even one sale to one mom and pop shop, the trip, you can write off gas, you can write off the car repairs, all of
it. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I need to get a big old lesson on that for sure.
So episode 2 with Al Azarod is tax season for up in arms.
Look, no, I don't know if you want to take advice from Josh and I. We are both unemployed doing a podcast. So, you know, you take what you want and, you know, throw back what you don't.
It's a good segue into the next question, which is scaling. You know, are you going to, I mean, once, let's say, hypothetically, you get the approvals and UPC codes and stuff like that. I mean, do you have it in the back of your mind, you know, where you would be making larger volumes of this? Or do you have a target store that is it Whole Foods in your mind, something like that? I mean, you know, those kinds of stores, Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about scaling it. I mean, right now I don't want that, because, you know, that would definitely limit my freedom for sure. But I definitely would love to, you know, I'm keeping it at this stage where it's kind of like sustaining itself, so I can like, you know, still live my life, and then eventually maybe, you know, like, I'm just trying to grow it organically. I'm not trying to push in anybody's face. And if, you know, I get enough stores to the point where I, you know, decide I do want to scale it and like maybe rent out a spot to start manufacturing these deodorants, you know, do it all that way. And, you know, maybe other product.
There's a lot of possibility.
What you're saying is you don't have a business plan at home written up. You're just kind of going.
I don't. You know what's funny? What's funny is like all my notes and everything is all in this composition notebook at home. Like, just, you know, sometimes I lose it. Sometimes it's in my backpack. Sometimes, whatever. And then one of my buddies who's like super business minded, he like reached out to me in the beginning of this whole thing, and he was just like offered his help.
Awesome.
And he just like completely took my notes and put them into these online files where we could share, like, what is called
Google Docs.
Yeah, I feel like you might need somebody with a little more business sense, because you're like the creative guy, and you know, you can come up with the ideas, but you like don't want to actually have to do the business stuff that is really not fun.
I definitely, you know, I'm definitely cool with doing the business stuff. I just want to do it in my own little slow and steady way. I'm not like racing anybody, you know.
Right. It's you could always go to mom and dad, right? Because they have started so many businesses. I mean, I've seen it happen, like, holy crap, right? But also you got to understand, like, this is like the Moroccan, Sephardic, Jewish side of the family who loves to stick their entire head up your ass to be like, what are you doing? Why don't you do this? Do this some more.
And so it's like, you
pushing back on that is like really hard. Like, it's important for people to realize how hard it is for you to be like, let me just do this on my own time and pace. It's important.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, my parents have been pretty supportive. They don't really like push me in any kind of direction. They know.
Right.
Or like, they know, just they know don't how. End up like Josh.
So true.
Let Josh be a lesson to you.
Yeah.
And you know I'm kidding, Josh.
But you're right. I mean, Edva could totally push me in every which way. But at the same time, like, you know, the good thing about what Eyal does and what his parents do has always been, like, super supportive and kind of hands off and, like, do your thing. And I think that's also important to mention, because you've told me this in passing, that the business makes enough for you to sustain yourself right now. You're not operating at a loss. You know, you're just not scaling at the fullest potential. So that's super cool about it. And the other thing, which we haven't talked about, is the packaging. Tell us about why that is super important.
The coolest part.
And the coolest part of this entire business we haven't even talked about.
Yeah. So the packaging, it's a compostable packaging. I don't use any plastic. It's like this, like, push pop container. It's all made of cardboard pretty much. And when I was living in Baltimore and I had a compost pile, I totally tried it out to see how long it took to backyard compost one of these empty sticks, and probably about a month, it was not even there anymore. So it's I really wanted to start a business without, you know, shitting on the environment. And, you know, I'm still doing it by shipping them out, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
I'll figure that one out as time goes on. And I'm doing a lot of other things, like planting seeds and stuff like that to balance the shipping costs on this earth.
Right.
If
you get in stores across the country, there's going to be shipping. Like, shipping is kind of an unfortunate, you know, it's an unfortunate reality. Right. But you're doing everything you can to offset, like, you know.
Right. And for sure. And that's kind of a huge obstacle for me to try and keep it as environmentally friendly as possible. You know, you got to jump through hoops nowadays to try and find deodorant packaging that works, that doesn't have any plastic, and you don't have to stick your finger in. It was kind of difficult for me to find that, and I think these containers were meant for like chapstick, or they were meant for like a sunblock, or I don't know what the heck they were meant for, but they work pretty well for the deodorant.
So you found a guy who makes those, and you just ended up buying from him, is what you
said. Yeah. I ended up getting, like, you know, a sample pack of 300 at first, and that lasted me a little bit, and ever since then I've been using those.
And if you ever need an extra one, you just get an old chapstick and just shove the deodorant in there.
So totally.
I wanted to ask,
that's actually funny.
Why there's a story there, why?
No, that is funny, because the first time the first few deodorants that I was using were just like our empty deodorant sticks around the house, and I was pouring new deodorant into it.
Your mom's like, "Hey, Al, where's my deodorant?"
Yeah, no, this is when I was living, like, in Baltimore. I was just using my roommate's random deodorant stick. It's definitely, but like,
so I wanted to ask, what about, like, how long does a stick last? If someone purchases a stick, like, how long does it usually last?
It lasts. For me, one stick lasts like a solid month and a half to 2 months.
Okay.
Using it every day, once a day?
Yeah, using it once a day. Sometimes I forget. But yeah, when I was using
good
it
amount.
Once a day, when I was using it once a day, definitely a month and a half for sure.
Well, and if you're in lockdown, and if you're in lockdown, it can last you 6 months, right? Because who's putting on deodorant if you don't leave home? So hey,
right? Isn't that funny though? Isn't that funny? It's like, what else do we do just when we leave our home, and why do we do it when we don't? You know what I'm saying? It's like kind of geeks me out to think about, like, you know, when I stay home, I don't put deodorant on, so I'm putting deodorant on for everyone else. I guess so. You know?
Right. Right. No, I mean, look, I mean, COVID, I used to shower every single day. So for the world who listens to this, you know, it's like, why do I need to now? Now every day I'm not going anywhere, you know, I start going out, maybe. But, you know, it's interesting. We had a recent guest on the show who was a Shark Tank contestant to this day, right? He was the most successful Shark Tank contestant. Is that what the stat was on him, Brianna?
I think he...
Or one of them. Or
I know he had the worst pitch, but he's one of Mark Cuban's three top favorite Mark Cuban bought into. Yeah.
Three top favorites. So, you know, it's hard to, as a fan of that show, but also listening to him speak, it's hard to not think, you know, along those same lines, talking to you about, you know, those potentials. But what I always think is the coolest part is really that what's that little nuanced bit? And it's the packaging aspect. It's so, the whole thing is environmentally friendly, you know, and that's just such a popular trend right now. I mean, I just feel like a shark on Shark Tank would eat this up. If you had, right? I mean, would you ever do that? Would you ever go?
If I walked into Shark Tank, they would eat me up. You know, they'd be like, so, you know, like, ask me all these questions. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, how much do you make? I'm like, you know, enough.
He's like, let me get my composite, my little composite notebook. Hold on a second. But I was actually just thinking, you could not be more opposite of our Shark Tank guest.
Guest wise, totally opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
But talking point wise, it's all the, you know, the things that they're looking for. Something different, something. I mean, Lori would eat this up in a second, you know, or if you watch that show, she's into all that kind of stuff. But I was also thinking, like, you know, as the trend now, I think one of the car companies just announced that by 2030 they'll be fully electric. You know, eventually at some point, there's going to be some
Ford.
It was what it was, like some trucking company that's going to be like, look, we're fully electric. At which point, you know, that could be, you know, they become a UPS type company, and, you know, you could even further, you know, get your stuff out there less environmentally impactful.
Or you'll be lucky and you can just sell it to someone for a lot of money and let them take it, like, make it really big, and you can just take the money and go and travel or do whatever you want.
I never thought about that. I never thought about that, but, you know, that'd be cool. Get a bunch of money and run. that's what this is all about, right?
Peace out. Smell good.
No, I'm just kidding.
So what's next for you in that regard? Is let's just say next 6 months, you know, because we ask this question of all of our guests is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Yeah. I feel like you don't know where you're going to be in 5 minutes. So it's a tough question, but if you want to answer that one, you can, but also give us like a 6 month outlook for yourself.
Where do I see myself in 6 months? What month is it now? It's March.
October.
October.
Somewhere, hopefully on a farm working on the West Coast. I don't know. As far as the company, probably in the same spot as it is right now, you know.
Right.
Every day is so different, especially now living on the road. It's like kind of gnarly. It's like I'm still trying to figure out where we're going to sleep tonight. It's 6:30 over here. And it's not like that's something that I'm like upset about. It's kind of like the reason why I hit the road. It's like I want to appreciate the small things. Like I'm in San Diego close to my buddy Jason, who actually helped me a lot with this company in the organization aspect. And hopefully I'll be able to go to his house tonight, shower, do our laundry.
Well, we know a Shark Tank CEO that's in San Diego, actually. So.
Oh, yeah? Should I go pitch? Yeah, go knock on his door. Hey, I got this deodorant.
Oh, he is in San Diego.
Yeah, he's in San Diego.
It's the Tower Surf Company out there. Yeah. So if you want to go rent a board or buy a paddle surfboard,
we've
tell
got
him you
no,
want.
We've got no pole. Is
that's what
John's
talking about. Yeah, go there and be like, I was on John Blue podcast too, and he'll be like, I don't know who you are.
Hey, I was on the same podcast as you. Can I shower?
I'll give me some deodorant.
You know what's cool about the beginning of this trip? Actually, I went to go stay with my buddy Matthew in Virginia, and right. his sister and brother-in-law have like a farm operation, and they love my deodorant, like. They're so stoked on it. Every time wow. I come up there, they're like, bring us some deodorant. So this time I got to actually trade deodorant for some like food. I got like two pounds so of ground wild, beef. Dude. I got wow. like some bacon.
You're and, taking like, it back all, to, like, the, yeah. He's now bartering yeah, and trading a, for goods. Yeah. Well, if you end up in a farm.
Yeah, like totally. It's like, that's like the highlight of my trip so far.
Well, if you end up in a, on a farm
like
in California.
You're like a Jewish Mennonite.
If you end up on a farm in California, just be careful that it's not a cult. All right. I'm watching a lot of these on Netflix. Just yeah. be careful.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Yeah. Totally. You know, we got stuck in Waco.
No, you didn't.
Whole, yeah, we got when Austin got shitted
oh
on like,
God.
A couple, like a month ago, we were driving through. You know, we're thinking, oh, we're going to go the southern route. We're going to stay
right.
in the snow. And all of a sudden, they got shitted on, and we were like, every overpass was frozen. We were like driving. It was crazy. We like found an Airbnb. We were like, all right, we're going to get an Airbnb with a washer and a dryer so we can do our laundry. We get there, and the washer and dryer's outside. The pipes are frozen.
Oh,
and
my
gosh.
God.
We were like, wow. Fuck. So we got stuck in Waco, and, you know, there was absolutely nothing to do in Waco. We were just, like, sitting
is,
at home.
Did they make that – is that, a, like, a landmark to go visit? Like, go see where the Branch Davidian was? Like, David Koresh
that'd be
Museum?
Funny, but I definitely didn't visit that. That's crazy. That was a gnarly show.
Yeah. Well, Waco, they do that. One of those house flipping shows is done in
yeah,
Waco.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
Yeah. That's what one of my sisters told me, too. They were like, you got to watch the show in Waco. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's like, so funny. I go right to the Branch Davidian, and there's a house flipping show there. That's showing my age. Oh, my God.
Hey, you should set up like a deodorant making kibbutz in like Southern California, right? Yeah. There people come, they work on the land, they trade goods.
It feels very Burning Man. Like, I feel like you should, when Burning Man is next year, hopefully, you should just be there with your deodorant, your deo.
Yeah, right.
Your little tent, teepee. All right.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Josh, do you feel like we've covered everything?
I feel like we have. Are there any one question we've been asking guests? We haven't gotten back to our game segment, but we've been asking guests if, you know, because of COVID and related to senses, losing, gaining senses, is there a sense during this past year that you maybe lost or gained that you noticed, a sense of anything, time, fashion, anything like that, that changed with you?
I guess I lost and gained a sense of time, you know, since COVID has happened. I've kind of realized that, like, I don't know, all the things that we've been used to doing, you know, in our normal day-to-day things, kind of just like, as soon as they're taken away from you, you're like, oh, what the heck, you know? So
right.
Especially being on the road and stuff, just like losing track of time. I love when I don't know the day or the week or the month or whatever. It's kind of cool. Just like, what am I going to do? Like, I just staying more present, just loving people, just being nice. Just if that's anything, yeah. If COVID has taught me anything, just, you know, be a good person, you know.
I love that.
You know what, man? You are a good person. You're one of the best, one of the noblest, especially in the family. And I'm so proud of you as an older cousin, but also just as somebody watching you set this whole business up.
Thank you.
Just so cool. Let me be enamored by it, from the chemistry to the packaging to the environment to the I don't give a fuck attitude. I don't know. Maybe it will, like, it's I want to slap you, but I want to hug you at the same time.
No, I want to be you. I really want to be you right now. I just wish I could have ever lived my life the way you are right
hey,
now.
Hey, it's not too late. It's not too late. You
I
know,
think my like, my husband and child would tell you that. It's not
your husband and child would thank you if you just like went and did whatever you want. And I'm sure like they'd be stoked to see you do whatever the heck that you wanted that you've always wanted to do, you know, not saying
that's what this is, the Josh Boyle podcast.
Okay, there you go. There you go. So it's right
well, on. You know what? In five episodes back of this season post-COVID, this is now the second person we've had, right, who just is living on the road and still doing their thing. And, and trust me, man, it's something we all want to do, either literally or metaphorically, just kind of letting go and,
and
finding those opportunities. So to all of our listeners, we hope that you can, you know, find your own ways to let go and get on the road and also follow your dreams. And is there any social, Eyal, that you would like to, Eyal, it's Israeli name. Does it mean, what does it mean, Eyal?
Eyal, I'm pretty sure it means strength.
There it is. Right there, right? E-Y-A-L is how you spell it. What's your social followings? What can you tell us?
My social media for Up in Arms is just Up in Arms Natural on Instagram. It's got a Facebook page too.
Okay.
It's just Up in Arms Natural.
What about your own personal?
Do you have your photos? Own personal is just Eyal Azrod. Yeah, I have photos. I'm trying to slowly get away from socials just because I kind of take advantage of it sometimes. Sure. But I sometimes post on there and.
Okay, E-Y-A-L-A-Z-R-A-D, Eyal Azrod.
It's upinarms.com, right? To order?
Up in Arms Natural.
Natural, okay.
Spelt exactly as is. There's 3 cents, unscented, rooted bliss. You also sell what, t-shirts? You got to get me a free t-shirt,
bro. Yeah, so I did make one run of t-shirts that my buddy actually designed. It kind of sold out right away. I only made a few.
Oh, they're dope. They're cool. Check them out. Yeah.
Josh will trade you a Jobs Glow t-shirt for one.
Yeah, I think I have a few smalls left in my mom's house. So if you can squeeze.
Small. What are you trying to make? Have you seen my belly in this video? Right here, you got a small. What are you trying to get me in a bra? That's like all it's gonna fit right there.
I just love the picture of the contrast in the image of the two of you. It just makes me laugh. So, Josh with a bright yellow background with Jobs.
Listen, I don't need a t-shirt. If you're offering a job, I will take it. I will mix that shit in your mom's garage if I have to, with Eyal feeding couscous.
Yeah, if you ever go into any natural food stores, just, you know, pitch a em. Simple, yo, do you guys sell Up in Arms? I've heard that's like the best deal.
There you go. Sure. Josh, that's you could be a salesman. There you go.
I'm telling you what, if I get you a whole or a Whole Foods contact, you're fucking calling them, or I am. I'm just I'll be the sales rep of that. I'm just letting you know. All right. Cool. So listen, guys, I don't need a cut. I need to be able to walk through the storm, point it out to people and be like, see that? Yeah, that's my cousin right there. Yeah. Cool. All right, great. Hey, Eyal, you're the man. I so appreciate you coming on here, especially all the way out in California. Brianna, give us our social tags and everything.
Go to jobsblowpodcast.com or at jobsblowpodcast on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at Bri Haas at Instagram.
I am at Mr. Josh Hyman everywhere. Eyal, you're the man. Try out the deodorant. You will not be disappointed. Thanks so much for joining us, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you
guys. Love you all.
Nice meeting you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way. There's too much coke and too much smoke.